From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Stay tuned for more No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. And this week we have a special show. Our Earth First Radio Network field reporter, Aeon Blues, will be interviewing a representative of the Animal Liberation Front somewhere in Minnesota. So stay tuned for that. We'll also have some regular news for a few minutes, and then we'll get into the interview. In the stories, you'll hear about folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please, go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this is not couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I urge you to take down the information I give you and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls. When you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod, or a tree sit, or locked down at the road blockade, of course, Earth First Radio can use your help. If you have announcements or news about what's going on in your bioregion, send it by email to cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio. .com, or you can send regular mail to Earth First Radio at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California 95601. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California 95061. And again, be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. Here's some news from Oregon, continuing on with news from the Willamette Old Growth Update. The American Lands Alliance, the Cascadia Wildlands Project, and the Santiam Watershed Guardians are pursuing litigation aimed at stopping the North Windbury, Simcoe, Pryor, Happy Bird, Straw Devil, Nevergales, Roaring River, Cat, Foley Ridge, and Coffin old-growth sales in the Willamette National Forest. A hearing on the cross motions for summary judgment is scheduled for June 28th in Portland in front of Federal District Judge King. These sales violate numerous laws by failing to examine cumulative impact, forest connectivity, and aquatic impacts. We are always on the lookout for both legal research and monetary assistance. So if you have either or both, send an email to George Sexton at Western Ancient Forest Campaign. His email address, wafc@teleport.com. With a big howl and a shout-out at the immovable sitters in a Clark, Heldon, and North Windbury old-growth sales in Willamette. Tours to these astounding groves leave from the Growers Market in Eugene, Oregon. 10 a.m. on Sundays, bring a boots and a lunch, and of course, it's all free. Expect to see more tree sits as the summer heats up. The cutting of our ancient forests must stop now. For more info, contact the Cascadia Wildlands Project. Their phone number is 541-747-9116. That's 541-747-9116. Email to jdj@efn.org. That's jdj@efn.org. Replacement volume, it's the biggest old-growth ripoff ever. The U.S. Forest Service is trading away trees over 500 years old in the Willamette for 150-year-old stands of coastal redwood growth that was halted due to marble murrelet nesting. This is bad news. Please call or write to some of the folks listed below and ask that they buy out the replacement volume program. How about Senator Ron Wyden at 202-224-5244, excuse me. That's Senator Ron Wyden, area code 202-224-5244. or Representative Peter DeFazio at 202-225-6416. Peter DeFazio, 202-225-6416. Or perhaps Darlene Hooley. She's a representative, 202-225-5711. That's Darlene Hooley, 202-225-5711. And in California, we read that amidst ongoing national debate about environmental damage caused by roads on public lands, a federal district court issued a sweeping injunction against the Forest Service, halting work on all 140 reconstruction projects in Northern California's Klamath National Forest. This April 6th decision by U.S. District Judge Shube ruled that the Forest Service must analyze the environmental impacts of road rebuilding projects and consider alternatives before investing tax dollars in these projects. Judge Shube found the Forest Service violated the National Environmental Policy Act and acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner by categorically excluding from analysis numerous emergency repair to publicly owned road projects that agency biologists consider likely to adversely affect threatened or endangered species. The Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center in Williams has put the public land agencies in southwest Oregon, the Rogue River and Siskiyou National Forest, and the Medford District Bureau of Land Management on notice to respect Judge Shube's ruling on complete NEPA analysis on all emergency repair to federally owned road projects before their implementation, or we'll see you in court, buddy. Increased road density on our public lands, construction of these roads on highly unstable and erosive soils, and the storms of the recent years, in particular the 1997 floods, have made road failures a bigger issue than ever, and our local agencies have a history of reconstructing road failures without analyzing environmental impacts. The biggest impact of reconstruction is the immediate sediment load into creeks, which imperils declining salmon and steelhead. Reconstructing badly planned roads without considering decommissioning also maintains dangerously high road densities in the Oregon region. And, noxious weeds and the spread of Port Orford cedar root rot, poaching of wildlife, timber theft, and trash dumping cost taxpayers millions of dollars annually. For more information, contact the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center, P.O. Box 332, Williams, Oregon, 97544. That's the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center, P.O. Box 332, Williams, Oregon, 97544. Their phone number, 541-846-9273. That's 541-846-9273. Get more information about that. And coming up in May is the Home Depot Fax-In Day. So, May 17th, Day of Action. Let's see, is that May 17th? No, where is it? Oh, that's if you still have them left over. It's May 27th, and you have until then to get them in, okay? These are faxes to Home Depot, letting them know that you're... here it is, May 18th. May 18th is the fax-in day. Okay, so get it together on May 18th. Send a fax to Home Depot. Here are the fax numbers. Arthur Blank is the chief executive officer. His fax number, 770-384-2337. That's 770-384-2337. How about Bill Hamlin, Home Depot's president, vice president of merchandising, 770-384-2840. Or how about Annette Verturin, chairperson of Home Depot's Environmental Council? Her number is 416-412-4215, 416-412-4215. And you'd like more information about getting involved in the May 18th fax into Home Depot? Contact Liz Butler at 202-547-9098. That's 202-547-9098. She'll get you more information, or you can send your email to lizb, L-I-Z-B, at AmericanLands, all one word, .org, lizb at AmericanLands.org, and get Home Depot out of the old growth business. Be about time, isn't it? All right. Okay, we've got an Earth First Radio special coming up here. It's an interview done by our Earth First Radio Network roving reporter, Aeon Blues. And he's going to be interviewing a representative of the Animal Liberation Front.
All right, so this is Eon Blues reporting for the Earth First Radio Network, and I'm interviewing Katie Fedor of the Animal Liberation Front. Hello, Katie.
Hello. Hi. I'm actually from the Animal Liberation Front press office. There is a distinction between the two groups, and I want to make that distinction very clear, that I am not a member of the Animal Liberation Front, that the press office is a separate and distinct organization that is designed to speak out in support of Animal Liberation Front actions, clarify the actions to the media, to other activists, and to the general public.
Okay, for the record. Now, I was wondering if you could first give us a statement of, like, what Animal Liberation Front is all about, and then also, like, a historical kind of perspective of what has happened with Animal Liberation Front.
Well, the Animal Liberation Front is an underground organization that doesn't even really qualify as a group. It has no membership list. It doesn't have any type of central organization or hierarchy. What it is just a loose collective of individuals working either by themselves or in small groups of people where they're able to carry out acts of nonviolent direct action to places that abuse animals, such as fur farms, factory farms, laboratories. Any place that profits off of the suffering of animals would be a legitimate area to be selected for Animal Liberation Front action. And again, the Animal Liberation Front is completely nonviolent. They have never injured anyone in over 20 years of worldwide ALF actions. And that record really speaks for itself. That's both in North America and around the world. And there are Animal Liberation Front groups all over the world in various countries and on different continents. And again, they're anonymous people who are putting their own lives and their own freedom and liberty on the line and in jeopardy in order to save these animals, either by liberating them or by destroying either equipment or property that is used to profit off of the suffering of these animals. That's kind of a brief overview of the Animal Liberation Front.
Okay, that gives us a definitely good image. What are some great historical aspects of the organization?
There have been so many. The Animal Liberation Front started in England in about 1976, where it was a small group of people that were hunt saboteurs and were basically looking for another way to stop animal abuse directly. And they had lobbied, they had written letters and phone calls, they had protested, they had done hunt sabotaging. And unfortunately, those methods were not working fast enough. So what they did was decided that illegal direct action would be a nonviolent way to be able to liberate these animals directly. And so it grew from just a small group of people with this idea into hundreds and thousands of individuals on their own or with other people going out anonymously and any time of the day to any place that abuses animals and rescue them, either directly liberating the animals or destroying the property through economic sabotage. And they basically set up four different guidelines that all actions have to meet and follow to be considered an ALF action. The first guideline would be to not harm any animal, human or non-human, in the action. And the second would be to rescue or liberate animals from places of abuse. And the third is to cause economic sabotage or property destruction to places that abuse animals. The fourth is to bring to light any type of evidence or videotapes of vivisectors or slaughterhouse workers abusing these animals. So those are the four guidelines that all actions have to meet. Some of the monumental actions have been, throughout the world, there have been so many, that Animal Liberation Front came over to the United States about 1979 with the release of dolphins. And we've seen everything from one dog being liberated from a university to thousands of animals being liberated from universities, from fur farms, from slaughterhouses. One of the best places to look for any type of historical perspective and monumental liberations and actions of the Animal Liberation Front is the Internet, of course. And there's the World Wide Web address of the Frontline Information Service. And that address is www.animal-liberation.net. And this has got some of the most comprehensive information on the Animal Liberation Front available to everyone.
Yeah, if people wanted to get involved with ALF, would that be a good place to start?
It certainly would be a great place to collect information. And again, you can do with that information whatever you see fit. As long as you are guided by your heart and your own compassionate soul and conscience, and as long as you're not harming anyone, either humans or animals, in the action, then that would be considered an Animal Liberation Front action. Mm. As long as you meet the four guidelines and as long as you're directing this type of action at a place that profits off of the suffering and exploitation of animals, then as long as you meet those guidelines, you're nonviolent, you can consider yourself part of the Animal Liberation Front. That's really why the actions are so successful.
Yeah.
There isn't any hierarchy. There isn't any central membership area where somebody distributes orders or commands to people or directs them.
No. Grassroots is finest.
That's right. Everyone is directed by their own sense of responsibility to stop animal suffering.
All right. So recently you guys did a job, I will say, on the University of Minnesota. Could you tell us, like, why you went into their animal labs, what they were doing to the animals, and basically what you accomplished?
Certainly. Again, I didn't personally go into the labs. I have no knowledge of anyone involved in any Animal Liberation Front actions.
Right. When I say you, I mean figuratively, like
right,
this
group.
Right.
The press office, I can certainly explain the action and the communique that was sent out by the people who did this, the Animal Liberation Front. They did claim full responsibility for the liberation of 116 animals at the University of Minnesota. And this happened April 5th in the early morning hours. The exact numbers of animals are 27 pigeons, 48 mice, 36 rats, and 5 salamanders. And basically, the communique stated that this shows that a lab raid can still be successfully completed in the 1990s, in the late 1990s. We haven't seen such a large laboratory raid for a few years. And something like this really gives hope to people that it's still certainly possible, even with the increased security measures at the laboratories. The communique also states that a video, along with still pictures, will be arriving to animal rights groups around North America. And then that information will be immediately distributed to the media and to the general public. So they also took documents, the communique stated, that they're reviewing at this time, and hopefully then we'll be able to again release to the public with findings of abuse to these animals and negligent care for the animals and abuse of taxpayer money. And the Elliott Hall is the psychology research building on the U of M campus. The animals were rescued directly from there, and Lyons Research Building was also visited, and basically all the equipment on the fourth and second floors was completely damaged. They painted animal liberation messages in the hallways. They tried to destroy as much equipment as possible, computer files, and took research notebooks and videotapes of the vivisector's own experimentation on these animals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a brief overview of the action itself.
So what exactly type of testing was being taking place on these animals?
Well, the vivisectors at this time are claiming that it was Alzheimer's research, and the animals were taken from psychology buildings, so it was psychological research being done. And the Animal Liberation Front had obviously carefully monitored everything that was happening to these animals. And hopefully that the videos that they release are going to show comprehensively the types of torturous experimentation that was being conducted on these animals. And we are the press office was in touch with an animal research investigator named Michael Budke, and he was able to go and do some research on the claims that the vivisectors were making about their research. And he found discrepancies and inconsistencies in what they've been saying, especially one vivisector in particular who's been in the media defending her research. It's Dr. Karen Sayo's work. She's claiming that she's doing Alzheimer's research. And this animal research investigator, Michael Budke, he's from the organization Stop Animal Exploitation Now. That's based in Cincinnati. And basically, he found through computer-retrieved information on scientific projects reports called CRISP reports that there was an inconsistency in what she was saying. I can read to you a section of the report right now. Basically, he said in a report written by Sayo, she admits, the researcher, the vivisector, admits that she wasn't sure what kind of disease the mice even had or have. And any statements about the protocol revolutionizing Alzheimer's research are completely and extremely misleading. Many similar statements have been made in the past only to be found utterly groundless. And that's from Michael Budke. His statement also follows it. In recent statements to the media, the University of Minnesota officials have said that Dr. Karen Sayo's work has revolutionized research on Alzheimer's disease. But this is not what's indicated in Dr. Sayo's own statements. In her statements, she says, she questions, do these mice have Alzheimer's disease? Further studies are needed to answer this question. So she's even questioning that herself. She also lists one of the specific aims of the project as to determine whether these transgenic mice have Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's-like illness. So evidently, Dr. Sayo doesn't even know what she's dealing with. She doesn't even know what these mice have. So any statements about that are extremely misleading.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely an inconsistency and a discrepancy in what she's telling the media. But unfortunately, the mainstream media hasn't been reporting some of this other information. And that's simply because vivisectors at the University of Minnesota are paid extremely well and have an entire team of public relations people on standby in order to hype this up and say that this research was saving people's lives, when in fact we know vivisection does not save human lives. It has led to so many people suffering and dying because of misleading information through different drugs that have been released to the public, which have then found to be either fatal or have massive side effects that were unknown before they were released to the public.
Right. Can you explain to us exactly what vivisection is?
Certainly. I have my own definition of vivisection. Vivisection, according to the dictionary, is basically that it's an invasive process, invasive research on a living nervous system, on a living being. My own basic definition of vivisection is that they're people making millions of dollars, living off taxpayer money, being subsidized by the government and by taxpayer monies to create suffering and torture in these animals. Basically, vivisection is funded by taxpayer money, and it's taking a living being, whether that be a human being or whether that be a dog, a cat, mice, a guinea pig, and invasively cutting into them or doing behavioral psychological research with, like, maternal deprivation experiments, which is very common with primates, doing some type of water deprivation, food deprivation on these animals. And a lot of times people in the general public who aren't knowledgeable about what happens to these animals in labs, they think if they're not being sliced open, if they're not having electrodes implanted in their brains, then the animals aren't suffering and it's not going to be harmful to them if it's going to be some kind of psychological or behavioral research. That's completely false. That's incorrect completely. Some of the most cruel, barbaric research that's been done has included psychological behavioral research, where you're taking animals, primates especially, taking any type of companionship away from them, conducting experiments on how they interact when they've been deprived of any interaction for many years of their life, what hostility is present in them, water deprivation, food deprivation. One of the famous researchers, vivisectors at the University of Minnesota, is Marilyn Carroll. She experiments on primates by depriving them of food and then giving food as a reward so that they become addicted to drugs. She's been doing this for so many years. She has a grant from the National Institute of Health of over $190,000, and that's on a yearly basis. And basically, this is done while drug rehabilitation clinics are being closed down left and right because of lack of funding. And she's addicting these animals, these primates, to drugs when people in clinics aren't able to be rehabilitated because the funding's not there. The funding instead goes to Marilyn Carroll, in which she tries to develop a drug to help people stay off of drugs, which anyone with common sense would know that that's not going to work. There are many cultural, societal factors that lead into drug addiction, and it's just completely incorrect to be taking money from taxpayers and then using it to addict primates and then trying to develop a drug off of that. It's completely unethical. And it's very fraudulent.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious there's a lot of unethical things happening in animal research. Is there anything else you want to say?
I'd like to give out the information for the press office. The press office is always asking for people to send information, clippings from the newspapers. If you hear a radio show, to send in a tape. If you see things on TV, to send in any media footage to the press office. The number here at the press office is 612 601-0978. The address is P.O. Box 13665, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55407. We just got a new P.O. Box. And then you can always reach us at the Frontline Information site. We have a new email address that's listed on the information site as well. And I'd just like to stress to everyone how important it is to be vocally supportive of the Animal Liberation Front in every way you possibly can. The people who do this are completely nonviolent. They're compassionate people who risk everything that they have, their freedom, their liberty, to save the lives of these animals that, in most cases, they never have contact with. And they're courageous people that need to be supported, and they need to be supported when they're unfortunately imprisoned as well. The supporters group in Canada is always in need of support and funding, as well as the press office and the frontline information site. So please always be vocal in your support of the Animal Liberation Front. The animals are counting on you, and so are the activists that are imprisoned.
Okay, thanks a lot for all your great work.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah.
And the P.O. Box for Minnesota ALF again is 3665 Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55403. There is no one in the P.O. Box number. This is Eon Blues reporting for the Earth First Radio Network.
And that was a special Earth First Radio Network broadcast. You can hear those occasionally here on the Earth First Radio Network. Want to remind folks that Earth First Radio is live on Free Radio Santa Cruz every Thursday at 8 p.m. Or you can catch us on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. So Earth First Radio is produced by Earth First Santa Cruz and is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening and tune in to the next Earth First Radio show for more No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music. And now we're going to have a little bit more Peg Millett.
Where there's fear, there is power. Passion is the healer. Desire cracks open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. Again, if you're ready, it will take you through. Where there's fear, there is power. Passion is the healer. Desire cracks open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. When you're ready, it will take you through. Where there's fear, there is power. Passion is the healer. Desire cracks open the gate. If you're ready, it will take you through. And nothing lasts forever. Time is the destroyer. The wheel turns again and again. Watch out, it will take you through. And nothing dies forever. Nature is the renewer. The wheel turns again and again. When you're ready, it will take you through. When you're ready, it will take you through. When you're ready, it will take you through.